The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. It is Friday Eve. Thought I'd throw that out there just to make you feel a little better. It is a Thursday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler coming to you live from NicoleSandler.com. Of course, the Progressive Voices Network, a number of other outlets, streaming video on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Twitch and LinkedIn now, too, as well. I am here today live. I come to you from South Florida, the COVID epicenter of the United States of America. Yeah. No one could have seen that coming. With the governor we have, this fine, upstanding man who puts science above... Oh, wait. Never mind. No, instead we have this guy who we affectionately refer to as moron death sentence because it's so appropriate. So Ron DeSantis, as new cases of COVID are exploding, and yes, Florida is the new epicenter. There are more cases here in this state than any other state in the nation. Gee, I wonder why. Well, this might give you an example. So moron death sentence went to a conference the other day in Salt Lake City. It was an ALEC conference, the American Legislative Executive Council. You know ALEC. We've talked about them ad nauseum over the years. Lisa Graves, our friend of the show and regular guest, her former home at the Center for Media and Democracy outed ALEC in a whole series called ALEC Exposed. They're the ones who funded by, of course, the Koch brothers and similar deep-pocketed right-wingers, help write this model legislation that they give to their members, state legislators, who, you know, join ALEC for, well, nothing because their membership is comped. Business leaders, you know, business corporations pay big bucks to be part of ALEC, because they influence these legislators. But the legislators, nah, you know, they all get comped in. And ALEC, the parent group, writes this model legislation that they then give to these state lawmakers and have them bring home to their state legislatures and pass laws. In some cases, they don't even know enough to change the bill from the model template that they're given to put their own names and states and districts on them. That's how amateurish this all is. So anyway, that's where Governor Death Sentence went a few days ago, to this ALEC conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. And if you're wondering, here is what he said to the faithful gathered about the new guidelines. You know, today, finally, the White House issued new masking guidelines, or the CDC actually did. So this was before they were announced, but, you know, Governor Death Sentence knew what was coming. He sees the same numbers. He knows what's up. But this is what he said to the gathered admirers.
Great to be with ALEC.
ALEC.
Did you not get the CDC's memo? I don't see you guys complying. And I say that jokingly, but I think that that may be a sign of potentially seeking to do more things into the future. And I think it's very important that we say unequivocally, no closures.
No closures.
No to restrictions.
No to restrictions.
And no mandates.
And no mandates. Well, thankfully, I live in a state that has overruled
him. Floridians are free to choose, and all Americans should be free to choose how they govern their affairs, how they take care of themselves and our families, and they should not be consigned to live, regardless of which state in the union, consigned to live in a Faucian dystopia.
A Faucian
dystopia? By the whims of bureaucratic authorities who care little for our freedom, little for our aspirations,
oh my
God, little for our happiness.
Oh, fuck
you. No
more. You.
We can't let
okay.
it happen.
You know
going
what?
Forward.
I have enough
You're
of him.
Listening
Whoops.
To-
What's that? That's the wrong one. What? Why does it say that? That's not what I wanted to play. I wanted to play the, why is it the wrong thing there? This is what I wanted to play.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Ron DeSantis. Shut the fuck up. Sorry, I get a little carried away from time to time. So there's our governor. Oh, my God. It's almost as hard to say that as it was to say the two words together, president and the name of the former guy, because it makes no sense. So Ron Death's sentence is saying there are no mask mandates allowed. Well, thankfully, you know, thankfully I don't have kids in school anymore, but where I live, Broward County, just passed a mandate that all students K through 12, when school starts again in the fall, will be masked. Thank you. We are the epicenter of the country again. On the rise, if you look at the map, every single county in the state of Florida is bright red. So the people in the chat room are asking, what happened to Randy today? So just so you know, I mean, Randy and I are not friends. We're, you know, we used to work together. We don't anymore. And we have a very very little contact. But somebody informed me earlier today that Randy tweeted something about testing positive for COVID. So I went to her Twitter stream, and sure enough, Randy Rhodes tested positive. She was replying to a tweet from Little Macro. I'm sorry, Marco Rubio, you know, the senior, oh God, senator from Florida, who tweeted, she was responding to a Marco Rubio tweet. Marco Rubio tweeted, our SecDef, Secretary of Defense, is vaccinated, but he arrives in the Philippines wearing a mask and a face shield. Embarrassing COVID theater. And he shared a picture of the Secretary of Defense getting off the plane in the Philippines, wearing his mask and wearing a face shield. Well, guess what? That's protocol right now in the Philippines, where they are also dealing with this deadly pandemic. So the Secretary of Defense was following the local rules, laws, and protocols. Go figure. And for that, Little Macro sends out this snarky tweet. Secretary of Defense did exactly what he was supposed to do. So Randy Rhodes responded to that tweet and said, I'm vaccinated, just tested positive. Because I'm double vaccinated, I have no symptoms, but I need to isolate for 10 days. Your freaking death cult members are contagious, so do us all a favor, Marco Rubio, Ingraham Engel, and Fox News, shut the fuck up already. Hashtag COVID is not over. I got to tell you, she is being throttled on Twitter. People are, oh my God, people are so fucked up. Can I just say, I hate people. I hate people. You know, here's this woman who said, they're coming at her with things like, you just proved that the vaccines aren't effective, and you know, you're the one who's spreading it, you're the super spreader. And they are, my audio and video are out of sync, sorry about that. I don't know why, but yeah, you know, I'm dealing with AT&T, so I apologize for that. I don't know what vaccine she took, but she so according to her Twitter feed, she says she's asymptomatic. I don't know why she got tested. Obviously, she was in proximity to somebody and felt like she had to get tested. So she did and tested positive. So I feel terrible for her. But, this might be a time, if you're on Twitter, to maybe give her a little moral support, because the trolls are out for blood today. And having been on the receiving end of Twitter trolls, it's not fun. And so so Randy was off the air today. She ran they ran a show from July 6th, and I guess she's out for 10 days, for 2 weeks. Unbelievable. So here we are. This is Florida, and we have this moron as a governor who's like, we don't believe in mandates. We're not going to have any shutdowns. Well, great. You now have the COVID epicenter of the United States of America. Proud? I'm not going anywhere. So I did not go to that art show, the craft show that I was going to do this past weekend. You know, I left a display there. You know, I set it all up and then I came home and then I went back as it ended and cleared it all out. I left flyers and business cards, didn't get any calls. But, you know, I did that because I know that this virus is spreading like wildfire again. And it's because of idiots like moron death sentence. I just don't get it. So the government today, well, the CDC today explained the new mask mandate. Here's Dr. Walensky, the head of the CDC, explaining why we are where we are.
First of all, I want to reemphasize our vaccines are working just as we thought they would with the Delta variant to prevent severe hospitalization and death. We should be getting vaccinated to prevent severe disease in ourselves and to protect ourselves from the Delta variant and from getting severe COVID. Here's the new science that we saw just in the last several days. With prior variants, when people had these rare breakthrough infections, we didn't see the capacity of them to spread the virus to others. But with the Delta variant, we now see in our outbreak investigations that have been occurring over the last couple of weeks, in those outbreak investigations, we have been seeing that if you happen to have one of those breakthrough infections, that you can actually now pass it to somebody else. We thought that was really important for people to know and understand, because when people are out there vaccinated, thinking that even if they get mild illness, they can't give it to someone else, if they're then going to a loved one who's immunocompromised, who isn't yet vaccinated or couldn't yet be vaccinated, we wanted them to take the protection to protect others. So that was the new science that prompted the guidance. And, you know, it was not, it weighed heavily. I know that sure. This is not a message America wants to hear.
No, it's not a message America wants to hear. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to listen. So I'm going to share with you an article from the Riverfront Times in St. Louis about something that happened there when the St. Louis County Health Director attempted to speak at a county commission meeting and explain to the people there what was going on. Again, for their benefit, to keep them healthy. This doctor, Dr. Faisal Khan, he's the acting director of the St. Louis County Department of Public Health. He spoke in favor of a mask mandate on Tuesday and in St. Louis, and he was shouted down and at least verbally assaulted by the people there. And so the next day, he wrote a letter to Rita Hurd Days. She's the chairwoman of the St. Louis County Council. And here's what he wrote in response to how he was treated at this meeting. He writes, Dear Chairwoman Days, I appreciated the opportunity to share the latest data, scientific research, and public health advice with the county council last night. As I mentioned in my letter on Monday, the latest public health order regarding masks is an important disease transmission mitigation strategy necessary to slow the spread of the coronavirus, especially as the much more contagious Delta variant is now the dominant variant in Missouri and in our region. As director of the Department of Public Health, it is incumbent upon me to offer the best public health guidance I can, and that is what I endeavored to do last night. After completing my medical training, I chose to focus my work on public health. I have committed myself over my entire 25-year career to improving health status indicators for entire communities, particularly in the most vulnerable segments of society. I've worked to improve public health around the world, working in Australia, Vietnam, Pakistan, South Africa, the People's Republic of China, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and the United States, West Virginia, Massachusetts, and Missouri. I have been a proud citizen of the United States since 2013. In all that time, and in all those places, I have never been subjected to the racist, xenophobic, and threatening behavior that greeted me in the county council meeting last night. My time before the council began with a dog whistle question from Councilman Tim Fitch, who said he wanted to emphasize for the assembled crowd that I was not from this country. As you know, and as Mr. Fitch surely knew since he was the crowd's leader, the great majority of the people in the raucous crowd appeared to be from the MAGA movement, as evidenced by their Trump 2024 chants. The MAGA movement is well known for xenophobia and discriminatory treatment of racial minorities, and has engaged in violent acts against government institutions, like in our nation's capital on January 6th. I later saw that around the time that Mr. Fitch asked his question, his friend Mark McCloskey, who was seated right behind me and situated near Mr. Fitch's position on the dais, posted on social media that mask mandates are, quote, un-American. One cannot help but see the connection between the efforts of Mr. McCloskey and Mr. Fitch to stoke xenophobia against me. I'm sure you are aware that Mr. McCloskey, like Mr. Fitch, is a well-known MAGA movement member. In line with Councilman Fitch's incendiary comments in Mr. McCloskey's social media post, several audience members then started mocking my accent while I was presenting to the council. I heard people doing their impersonation of Abu, a caricature character from The Simpsons television show that mocks people from South Asia, such as myself. While I was presenting my analysis of COVID-19 to the council, two politicians, Mr. McCloskey and Paul Berry, seated right behind me, consistently berated me and tried to distract me from my presentation. When I asked you to intervene to prevent Mr. McCloskey and Mr. Berry from interfering with my presentation, you lectured me, not them. Such demeaning treatment was surprising to me, as I had heard that you were sensitive to issues of race and treating people equitably. After my presentation was completed, I tried to leave the chamber, but was confronted by several people who were in the aisle. On more than one occasion, I was shoulder bumped and pushed. As I approached the exit and immediately outside the chambers, I became surrounded by the crowd in close quarters, where members of the crowd yelled at me, calling me a, quote, fat brown cunt, and a, quote, brown bastard. I can't believe I'm reading this. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is a letter from the St. Louis County head of public health, who went to a county commission meeting to explain the recent directives on mask wearing and the latest advisories on COVID. And this is how he was treated by the people there. He writes, after being physically assaulted, called racist slurs, and surrounded by an angry mob, I expressed my displeasure by using my middle finger toward an individual who had physically threatened me and called me racist slurs. I would have done much more than a middle finger. Anyway, back to the letter. He writes, political operatives, and even Mr. Fitch himself, have sought to use my instinctive reaction as political fodder against me. I would like to think that I would not react like that because it risks creating a distraction from what should be a consensus around masking and vaccines. I have to say, however, that when faced with the racist vitriol that Councilman Fitch has been privately and publicly stoking against me since my appointment, I cannot say I'm sorry. I remain open and willing to brief the council on public health issues dealing with COVID-19 and the other important challenges we face in public health in St. Louis County. I simply ask that you take appropriate steps to investigate these matters, prevent similar events from happening in the future, and ensure that a safe and orderly environment be created for any future testimony me or my staff are asked to provide the council. Sincerely, Faisal Khan, Director. I want to say I'm shocked, but I'm not. We have become a nation of ugly, xenophobic, racist, bigoted pigs. And that's why I said I really hate people. I hate people like that. Unbelievable. This man has spent his entire career helping communities that needed help, medical help. And for that, he's called a brown cunt? St. Louis. Yeah, baby. Ugh. I don't even know where to go with that. I don't know what you say to that. You know, I constantly talk about opposite world because that's where I feel we are. And that's not new. What's new is the depths to which we've sunk. You know, when I first asked Boca to make me this opposite world sounder, I wonder if I have the first one. I don't have the first one here. Damn it. It was back when John Boehner was Speaker of the House. And it just said, "Welcome to Opposite World, where in is out and up is down." Brought to you by Speaker of the House, little Johnny Boehner, or Boner, and his really big gavel. That's how far back this goes. And of course, it's morphed over the years to now. This is it.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
And that's the only way I can express this feeling that I get. We're surrounded by people who will not acknowledge reality, who say up is down. You know, I always present this analogy in talking why I really don't invite right-wingers on this show. I would have a Republican on, someone like an Adam Kinzinger, who I would enjoy debating probably, because he'll agree to the fact that the sky is blue and the grass is green. You have to agree on the ground rules. You have to agree that up is up and down is down. And unfortunately, in today's Republican Party, it seems like there are only two people who will do that. And that's Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And again, I'm not a fan of either one of them. Well, of their policies. But of their integrity, I am now very much impressed with the two of them for standing up to the cult that has engulfed them. You know, I've heard a number of people, like about a month ago or so, I had an acquaintance of mine on the show, a guy named Guy Saperstein, who is a big, you know, he's a former big civil rights attorney. And in fighting for the little guy, got very, very rich. You know, it's our system here. Love it or hate it, that's how it works. And so Guy Saperstein, he has this mailing list that I'm part of. And what he is now is a big... one of the big money people on the Democratic side. He's a Democratic donor. And yeah, he gives a lot of money, so he gets the ear of these people, right? He was a big Bernie Sanders supporter. He was not a big Joe Biden supporter, and he still appears not to be, but this isn't about that. Where he's gone lately is that he is of the mind that that the Democrats are going to win big, not only in the midterm, but in 2024, because Trump and the insanity surrounding him and that what's left of the Republican Party is going to implode. And that would be all well and good. That's how it should be. I don't have as much confidence. He believes that it's going to just die off. And maybe we're headed in that direction. 17 Republicans last night voted with all the Democrats to advance, you know, to overcome cloture, to open debate on the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, the BIF, they're calling it, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Framework, because there's really not a bill written. You know, they needed 10, they got 17. But there was even more. There was a special election on Tuesday in Texas, in which, I thought I got it wrong yesterday, but apparently I didn't. There was an election in November. There had to be a runoff. And in the runoff, see, the guy who held the seat died of COVID. Go figure. There's a pandemic out there. People are dying. Can you imagine? Why isn't our government doing more? Oh, wait. Never mind. They're in Texas. So this congressman-elect died before he could be seated. So his wife ran. And I guess she didn't get enough, so it had to go into a runoff. And the runoff is what happened this week. I really should, because I don't have the details. I'm giving this to you from the top of my head, so I'm probably getting something wrong. And I'll have Howie go through it when he gets here. But basically, what happened is Trump endorsed the widow instead of the other guy who was running, who's actually got some political experience. And the other guy won. So it seems like some of the Teflon might be peeling off of the crackpot known as Donald Trump. We can only hope. So that's going on. The whole thing is just astounding. So now here we are in Florida. I will not go out of the house again. I'm basically homebound again for a while because as a lung cancer survivor, I'm not going to risk the one lung I have left getting infected with COVID. We've seen 100% healthy people get infected and then have to undergo double lung transplants. Well, no, thank you. I don't want that. And, you know, and it just so happens that Randy Rhodes was, I heard some of her show yesterday when she was talking about nobody goes into the office without a mask, that you show proof of vaccination, that they're being very careful. Now, I also know she got on an airplane a couple of weeks ago, which I certainly wouldn't do at this point. But whatever, it's because we're in Florida, she got infected. So now she has to spend the next 10 days isolating. And yet people are going ballistic on her on the Twitters. I mean, I hate to give them any oxygen, but some of the shit they're writing is just, this is who these people are. They are, they're saying, okay, so now, since I said it, it looks like a lot of you have jumped into her timeline and are giving her some moral support here. But, here, things like this. One of these maggots said, "You're the one infected. Your brain is scrambled. Unvaccinated has nothing to do with a particular political party. It was under Republican leadership. Oh, vaccines were developed." Okay. So I guess that one. Okay. Here it is. What she said is, "It ain't even close to over." And someone said, "Yes, it is. No one believes your hypocrisy anymore. Now go away and sulk." And then there are people commenting on her appearance and her glasses because these people have nothing other than the ugliness in their souls. These are just monsters. And this is what this nation has become. Just like, little macro Rubio calling out the Secretary of Defense for following the law and the protocol in the Philippines where he's going on official business. Little macro needs to go home. Along with Tim Scott and Governor Moron Death Sentence. Come on, Florida. I'm sick of calling the state Florida, but, some things you have no choice. All right, so let me tell you what's happening now. So, it's Thursday, and in just a moment, I'm going to get Howie Klein on the line. And, I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this every day. For the next, for a while now, because we have hypocrites in charge of the Republican Party. And one hypocrite in particular, who so wants to be Speaker of the House, has no backbone. It's something that it just twists in the wind. You know, those blow up, those like cylindrical things that sit outside of car dealerships and they flip over. That's Kevin McCarthy for you. He just goes any way the wind blows. So right after the, it was actually not even right after the insurrection on January 6th. It was a week later. It was January 13th. Kevin McCarthy stands up in the House of Representatives wearing his mask, by the way, because I guess back then he followed the medical experts' advice. He stood up in the House of Representatives And he said,
the president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility. Quell the brewing unrest.
You think?
And ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
Yeah, well, and he said a lot more, but you get the gist of it right there. All you need are those first few words, the first few words which I should commit to memory.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by...
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack, and I don't know what he said there because I cut him off, by his supporters. They were his people. He sent them there. Kevin McCarthy knows it, but after he said that, he felt the wrath of dump, and then he got scared. He's like, oh, my God. I thought everyone was going to know that he obviously incited this, and he was obviously to blame. Of course, they were going to not support him anymore, but then everyone supported him. So, of course, Kevin McCarthy, the flipping, flopping thing in the wind, said, oh, shit, I need to go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring and the mushroom dick. Which he obviously did pretty well because Trump is now back on his side again. So here we are. What do? First thing we do is we vote Kevin McCarthy the hell out of Congress. So joining me and Howie today will be the man who can do that. But the thing is, we need to get him through the primaries. We need to make sure Bruno Amato wins the primary so he can take on Kevin McCarthy and send him packing. So, I don't know whose turn it is to mix up the Dirty Debbies today, but get going. You mix them up. I'll get Howie Klein on the line. Okay? All right. Go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low. Woo-hoo!
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
I'm Nicole Sandler. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am so great. I'm having such a good time. I invented a new recipe, and I'm right in the middle of making it.
I can tell because I can hear you're in the kitchen or something. What is it? What are you making?
It's a chestnut pumpkin pie.
Ooh, David would like that. I'm not big on pumpkin or chestnuts, but maybe I'll get the recipe from you. Tell me how it comes out. I also hear you got your third, you got a booster. You got another vaccine.
Third shot. It was wonderful. My doctor told me about 6 weeks ago that it's going to be necessary. And she said, eventually they'll start rolling it out slowly. But she said it'll probably be, you know, hard. You know, once they give it the okay, everyone will be rushing to get it. She said, why don't you get it now?
Oh, nice. Because
I waited, but then I finally did it the other day.
Good for you. I mean, the minute they tell me I can get the third shot, I will. Again, you know, there's a lot of things I don't do because I'm down a lung, and you're immunocompromised. So, you know,
exactly.
Us old farts, we need to be taken care of. And you know, I'm here in Florida, which is now the epicenter of the newest Delta surge. Hey, because we've got more on death sentence in Tallahassee, who we really need to get the hell out of there.
Really? I mean, what he's doing now is, I feel, even the most duh of the Floridians
right.
are going to realize that he's killing their families.
I hope they'll realize it, because I'm frankly really sick of this. You know, Randy Rhodes, turns out, just tested positive today. So apparently she's double vaccinated, you know, has a mask mandate in her office, says she's been careful. And now she's
how
out.
Did it happen?
I don't know, because we don't talk, but I just saw she tweeted out she tested positive, and now she's got to, you know, be in isolation for 10 days.
Oh, how awful.
Right. This is insane.
I mean, shouldn't that sort of say a little something about going and getting that vaccine?
Yeah.
When my doctor told me about it, she said that this was, again, this is about 6 weeks ago. She said that she felt that from her research, and she's a researcher, rather than like a, you know, a family physician. She's not that. She's a research
right.
doctor. She told me that the numbers that they were giving out for the effectiveness was not as high as they were saying. It was wishful thinking. But she said the third one is, she used the word golden.
Mm.
And that doesn't sound a lot like her. I mean, she's very, she's usually very, very reserved. But she was very sure of it. She told me she was going to have her whole family do it and recommended, because I am immunocompromised, that I do it as well.
Good. I'm glad.
But, so I did.
Good.
But I'll tell you, I mean, it's not changing what I do it from day to day. I mean, I still, you know, obviously wear a mask. I don't let anyone in my house who doesn't have a mask.
Yep.
I'm fairly strict with it. And the only way I loosened up and not a lot, but I did loosen up when it comes to going out to eat. I wasn't doing that at all during
right.
the first phase of the pandemic. But now I do that. But I only eat outside.
Right, us too. With a couple of times we've gone out to eat, we've eaten outside. And we still don't. I mean, that's a rarity. And now it's going to be less because things are getting worse, especially here in Florida. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much.
Instead of especially here in Florida, Florida's just leading the way. I mean,
yes.
It's going to be the same way
everywhere.
It's going to
be everywhere. We're just first. Hello. We're just early adopters here. All right. Howie, I'm going to move along because we have a guest standing by. So I opened this segment by playing that little clip of Kevin McCarthy again, because everybody needs to remember that Kevin McCarthy knows exactly what happened on January 6th. He said,
"The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters."
By mob rioters, his supporters. So he went on, but that's the gist of it. Kevin McCarthy knows full well what happened, and he was wearing a mask when he said that. But, you know, he realized that the caucus was not full of common sense, and they were going to still stand by this con man for whatever reason. And so he had to go do an about face, go down to Mar-a-Lago, kiss the ring, suck the mushroom, and do whatever he has to do to get on Trump's good side again. And there he is. So what we need to do is make sure Kevin McCarthy is voted out of office. And to do that, we need to get our guest through the primary. You want to introduce Bruno Amato?
I do. Although before I do, I just want to say one thing about Kevin McCarthy,
okay.
Which is that most people don't know him. I mean, they know who Pelosi is. They know who McConnell is.
Right.
They just don't know who Kevin McCarthy is. People are unaware of it. Now, more know now than they used to,
right.
Which is a good thing. But it's really going to be up to us and up to someone like Bruno to make sure everyone does know who Kevin McCarthy is. Now, Bruno is I met through Randy Bryce.
Oh,
Iron
cool.
Stash.
Iron Stash. Yes, we love Randy Bryce.
Right. Well, the two of them had a lot in common. They were both iron workers. They were both like very, very, very ultra pro union. They were both veterans. I think they were both in the Navy. And I know that Bruno was in the Navy. I think that was the service that that they were both in. I'm not 100% sure. But in any case,
he's shaking his head no.
And Iron Stash called me and said, "You got to meet this guy." This was a few years ago. And he introduced us. And now Blue America has endorsed Bruno, and he's also a working actor, by the way.
Wow!
And
yeah.
he's off and running.
And here he is, Bruno Amato. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for having me, and thanks Howie for putting me in touch with Nicole. I appreciate it.
So, but you were shaking your head. It wasn't the Navy.
Oh, yeah. So, so Randy was in the Army.
Okay.
And I was in the Navy.
Ah,
you were in the
okay.
Navy.
Yeah.
I know you served in. You were served in a submarine tender, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was on two different submarine tenders, which are basically these big ships that submarines pull up to, and we kind of like service them, whatever they need. So I was a torpedo man. So my job was loading and offloading torpedoes from submarines, basically.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a kid, I mean, I was, you know, I joined when I was 17 and I got out when I was 21. So basically, when my friends were in college, getting an education with books, you know, I was in the Navy. So
getting an education in another way.
So
Bruno, when did you decide to jump in and challenge Kevin McCarthy? Was it to take out Kevin McCarthy? Was that the main reason, or what got you into the race?
Yeah, you know, so I moved to Bakersfield about 3 years ago, and I had thoughts. I had thoughts because I was like, oh, damn, I'm in friggin' McCarthy's backyard, you know? And but I knew I had just gotten here, and, you know, I wasn't really settled in yet. So, but I had met a few people. But of course, as the years went on and Trump caused more damage, and then January 6th came upon us, that's when I made the final decision that, I had to do something, because to me, that day, if it would have went slightly different, I don't know if we would have a country today. I don't know what this would be.
No.
I have no idea. Even if they would have went in there and, God forbid, killed Nancy Pelosi, killed who knows how many. I'm assuming it would be mostly Democrats, maybe even Mike Pence. You know, I don't know what this country would be. Like, Trump would obviously still be not president, I guess, whatever he'd be.
Dictator, right?
And guys like McCarthy would still be bowing and doing whatever the hell Trump told him to do. That's why we got to get these people out of there. These people, like McCarthy, defends terrorists, not Capitol police officers. Terrorists, this guy defends. He's a disgrace, a fucking disgrace.
Absolutely.
And Bruno, when you talk about this to people up in your district in Kern County, are they aware of it? Do they care? Does it matter to them? Do they understand the urgency?
Well, you know, the people that I've met, you know, I would say almost all of them feel pretty close to how I feel. Of course, I haven't met, you know, I haven't ran into that many MAGA people, you know, in my journey. I see them driving by sometimes with their trucks, with their big flags on them and their Trump flags. And I'm saying to myself, this is what these people think is patriotism. And, you know, I don't know what it was, you know, with this town. I mean, you know, it's a working town, like these, it's a big oil town. Like, there's guys that work hard. I mean, I used to be an iron worker. So I was a union iron worker for 10 years. I know what these guys do every morning. They get up and they break their ass and they, you know, to make a living and to have maybe decent health care and a union job. And, you know, guys like McCarthy put this fear in them that, hey, the Democrats are going to come in and try to, you know, get rid of all your jobs and, you know, with this Green New Deal. And like, so it's a big fear tactic. And, you know, let's face it, like, green energy is the future. And to be lying to these people and saying that oil is going to continue to be the future is just ridiculous. So I'm hoping to change some minds out there and let them know that, you know, hey, I'm a worker too. I'm a union guy. I'm in two unions. You know, I'm also in the Screen Actors Guild. But I know what it's like to get up every morning and go to work and break your ass, you know, to make some money and support your family. I'm not out to take anybody's job. I'm out to give them a better future with a better job, a better union job with better protections and better money and to make our environment cleaner. You know, like this where we live now, I mean, you can look on the news. I mean, like the pollution is not a good thing. The water is not good.
And on the other hand, McCarthy has never had an honest job in his life. He's been a politician for his entire life. You know, working his way up. His dream, of course, is to be will be everyone else's nightmare, which is to be speaker. And he, you know, I mean, I think he started as the I guess he didn't start there, but he was the president of the Young Republicans, and he wound up also as the minority leader of the California legislature. And one thing, it's always the same. He's always terrible at each one of these jobs. I mean, he's just horrible now. He was being yelled at today by people in his own caucus who are complaining that he hasn't thrown Liz Cheney and
Adam Kinzinger
out of the caucus, out of the conference. Although, for all I know, maybe he has by now. I've been away from the internet for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know that he can, but you know, this just shows the what the Republican Party has devolved into. The fact that they can't even have any kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Just a cordial relationship. Everything is throwing stones. Everything is you're either with us or you're the enemy. There's been contentious relationships in Congress before, but I don't recall it being this ugly. Certainly not since I've been paying attention. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's very scary right now because of the support that some of these Republicans who are in Congress gave to the rioters.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't support the police.
Nope.
They supported the rioters. And I mean, some of them were seen showing the rioters around Congress the day before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a reason for that. They don't want this commission. They didn't want the commission. And now they don't want the select committee.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no doubt that Kevin McCarthy is extremely responsible for a lot of this stuff. He's trying to protect his conference. He's trying to protect the Republicans, even though he knows that Bruno, I don't know if you heard it or not, but Nicole played McCarthy.
Oh, he heard it.
Talking about about how Trump was guilty of this thing.
Yeah,
this
that
is before he went down and kissed the ring.
Exactly.
But you know, he knows what's going on.
He knows, and he made a
it's
decision.
It's funny. I kind of thought like for like that brief few hours, like wow, Kevin McCarthy showing a little pride in himself that maybe he's not going to go all the way over the edge and just follow Trump. And of course, I'm sure as soon as he got done making that speech, he looked and he saw he had a few texts coming in saying, hey, pal, you just fucked up. You better get your ass to Mar-a-Lago and apologize. And he went right there and apologized with his ill-fitting suit. We all know that picture with him standing next to Trump with his brown shoes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And just looking like a fool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
This guy
has like no backbone at all. I hate to make fun of even the way someone talks because look at me. I got an accent like
you sound like you're from New York.
Jersey. But
Jersey.
Nicole, he even has this voice as if he would have taken Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and somehow put that voice into his own voice.
Oh,
and that's what he sounds like when he's up there thinking that he sounds intelligent, like today when he was saying, hey, you know, they want us to wear masks. You know, in this county, less than 40% of the people are vaccinated. So if anything, if I'm in Congress and I see Kevin McCarthy coming near me, I'm going to be thinking, this guy, if he's ever been home in the last few months, who knows who he's been around?
Right. You know, speaking of that, I want to share with you, you know, when last week when Howie was on the show and we talked about having you on, you were going to come on this week and he tweeted something about it. My Twitter has been blowing up. You've got a big Twitter following and a lot of very enthusiastic fans. And a few of them have sent me questions. So Amy Lynn asks, can you discuss the amount of time McCarthy has, in parentheses, not spent in California consulting his constituents and what Bruno plans to do for his?
Yeah. So I'll tell you this real quick. Like, you know, Kevin McCarthy has not held an in-person town hall. Get this, Nicole, in 12 years. Do you remember what you were doing 12 years ago?
Vaguely. Very vaguely.
Yeah. Well, that's the last time you had, you know, so, you know, first of all, what I will do is I'll meet with my constituents at least 6 times a year. I mean, I would think if I'm going to represent a district, if I can't meet with them in person 6 times a year, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
This guy is so scared to come here and face people because, you know, he was here last week. He was here last week holding a fundraiser with very wealthy people from the area and his special guest, Mike Pompeo.
Oh, God.
So he does stop by every now and then. You know, I was 2 days ago, I was had the honor of being next to Dolores Huerta right in front of Kevin McCarthy's locked office because it's never open.
Wow.
You can go there and try to talk to his people and you know, the dark glass windows. I'm sure they see you and you can't see in, but, so yeah. So, you know, and, yeah, it's just a shame, man. It's like the people here deserve so much better.
But you will, you know, he's more concerned with climbing the ladder and being speaker. That's his goal. And that's where his concern is, not with the people, you know, of Bakersfield. Right.
Yeah, he's a very selfish guy. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I have one more for you from Riddhi Patel, who says, ask him why that as a candidate for my congressional district, they have BLM in their bio, but they have not publicly supported policies of Black Lives Matter, specifically Movement for Black Lives, champion like defunding the police. I don't agree with defunding the police. I don't know where you stand on that. I think that's the dumbest slogan that anybody ever came up with. Reform the police, but... Go.
Yeah, it's a horrible slogan. I mean, for one, you know, I get this, you know, from certain people. They love to come and hit me on my Twitter. But, you know, what about defund the police? Do you want to defund the police? Like, hey, can you help me lose anymore?
Exactly.
I'm trying to freaking get this piece of garbage out of office. And like, this is what you're, you know, like, I'll tell you this. Do I think we should reallocate funds to more social programs? Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Look, like this district, Kern County, has been number one in homicides for three straight years. This is Kevin McCarthy's, you know, he's always bitching about Chicago and New York and all the crime. He never mentions his own county, Kern County, the county that he was raised in, Bakersfield, number one in homicides for three straight years. Talk about that, Kevin. But anyway, yeah, defund the police is a horrible slogan, whatever. Do I think that there should be maybe less funds going to police officers and more funds going to social programs? 100%. 100%. We got to take care of people out here, too. And like just investing in police doesn't prevent crime. Like you got to invest in school and social programs and getting people jobs. So anyway, I hope I answered that question.
And we should mention that your website is brunoforcongress.com. And like most good progressives, you do put your stance on many issues right there in black and white on the website. Yeah. This is a great way to tell the real progressives from the phonies because they don't ever say where they stand on the issues because they don't want you to know because then you'd have to hold to those promises.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm definitely a progressive Democrat. You know, my first real endorsement came from Blue America, which I'm so proud of, you know, that, of course, like, you know, Howie was a big part of me getting that endorsement. And just yesterday, I got endorsed by No Dems Left Behind, which is an organization that basically tries to help Democrats running in very rural districts, which I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And they also support veterans a lot. And speaking of veterans, I also have been endorsed by Vote Vets.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. Like I got some great people behind me. And, you know, everybody says, you know, Bruno, it's a very red district. Mm. You know, you're dealing with the friggin' McCarthy. He raises millions and millions. Not that all those millions go to his, you know, he spreads that money out to all these other Republicans. But, you know, I'm going to try to make this guy spend some of that money here defending his record because I'm going to be on him for like the next whatever it is, 16 months.
Yep.
I'm gonna keep coming for him, and we'll see what happens.
Good. Howie,
does he ever debate his opponents?
Does Kevin debate his opponents?
Yeah. So he does come home every now and then, and he shows up for the debate. Of course, you know, I kind of feel bad for some of these people having to debate the slickest used car salesman that's ever been born into this planet. So that's what they're debating. A professional liar, a lifelong politician that knows how to lie and to throw a question this way and that way. And you're like, wait a minute, but did you just answer what he just asked you? Like, yeah. So this is what you got to deal with Kevin McCarthy. Of course, when I'm up there, I'm going to be in this guy's face. So I hope he's ready for something a little different coming at him.
I hope so, too. Now, you know, we're talking as if you're running directly against Kevin McCarthy. You got to get past the primary first. What is the field like? Are there others running?
Yeah, so I there's a...
And remember, it's California, so everybody,
it's California. Oh, it's jungle primary. Right.
It's a Democratic primary and a Republican primary. Yeah. Everybody runs.
That's right. I'd forgotten.
And then the two people... face each other in November.
Right. So it's not separate Democratic and Republican. I keep forgetting that.
It could come down to, you never know. I'm sure even someone's going to try to primary McCarthy. I'm assuming, because there's even some people that think he isn't
red enough,
a big enough of a traitor lover. Like he's not
amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So everybody's all in the primary, and it's the top two vote getters in the primary, regardless of party, who go on to the general election. Wouldn't be awesome if Kevin McCarthy was knocked out before they even got to November.
Right, but that's not likely. It's much, much more likely from what it looks like right now. It's definitely, I would say almost definitely going to be Kevin McCarthy versus Bruno Amato.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way it's looking. And I expect that to happen.
So we got to be all in. Now, I got a lot of friends out in California because, 15 years in L.A., Howie's out there. We need everyone to get in on this. Kevin McCarthy thinks he's going to be Speaker of the House. We want to send him home and send Bruno Amato to Congress. So,
thank you.
Yes. So
what's your biggest issue there aside from Kevin? I mean, what is it that you're telling the voters that you're going to do for them aside from get rid of him?
Yeah. So, in this district also, the unemployment rate is 2 points higher than the rest of California.
Huh.
So, of course, like my whole life and I'm a son of immigrants, so I know about work. Like my parents came over here when they were my father was just like a teenager. He went into World War II. Got wounded, fought for this country, got the Purple Heart. He went back to Italy, married my mom. They came back. My mom worked in factories her whole life. My father was a tailor. These people. So I know what it's like to work, but I also know what it's like to not have a job. And being an actor, which I've been a working actor for the past 20 years, I go a lot of times where like, I don't know when my next job is coming. I'm not Brad Pitt. So I'm just like a regular guy. And, that's basically why I moved to Bakersfield. I was living in L.A. County for the past 20 years. And I really couldn't afford it anymore.
Sure.
So I said, let me do a little traveling. And here I am. And I like it here. So, so my number one priority would be good jobs, healthcare, of course. I'm being a progressive. I'm for Medicare for all. And, I hate to be a slogan guy. I just want to, almost like with the defund the police thing. Like, it's like slogans are great. Like I instead of slogans, I would just rather people have great jobs, great healthcare, where they don't have to worry about if they get sick, that they can't pay their rent or this or that. To me, I think healthcare is a right. Like, I think it should be, we're the richest country in the world and other countries, are able to take care of their citizens and we somehow aren't. I think it was like the number one reason of bankruptcy, people like because of their medical bills and stuff like that. So, jobs, healthcare, and of course, like this area, pollution is big, like water. We have chromium in Bakersfield. We have chromium 6 in the water, which gives people a 30-time higher chance of getting cancer. Where is McCarthy on all this stuff? What is he doing? The pollution
he's
is horrible.
Against amelioration. That's what he's doing.
He's doing.
He's talking about everything. He's talking about CRT. This guy defends terrorists every day.
That's right.
He won't even meet with those cops. He won't even meet with them. He had to be like torn into it. Like, are you going to meet with the freaking guy? The guy who was tased. He had a heart attack. Right. He almost died. You going to meet him?
And he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Bruno Amato. Yeah, find him on Twitter at @BrunoAmato_1. The website is BrunoForCongress.com. He could certainly use financial support, but I'm sure he could also use volunteers. So yeah, all, you can find all that information at brunoforcongress.com. It was such so great to meet you. Thank you. And I'm
Nicole,
sure we'll talk
thank
again.
Thank you so much for having me.
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for joining
okay.
us.
Bye, Howie.
Bye, Bruno.
All right. Thanks, Howie. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And with that, we're done. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we celebrate the 40th anniversary of MTV. Be here for that. We'll have fun. It'll be different, but we'll have fun. All right. I'll leave you with the news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This time, it really quite possibly is Infrastructure Week. The Senate on Wednesday voted 67-32 to open debate on the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill, the one that was hammered out in negotiations between a group of centrist Republicans and Democrats and the White House. The plan calls for big investments in our public works system, including about $550 billion in new money for roads, bridges, rail, transit, water, and other physical infrastructure. More specifically, it allocates $73 billion to rebuild the electric grid, $66 billion for passenger and freight rail, $65 billion to expand broadband internet access, $55 billion for water infrastructure, $40 billion to fix bridges, $39 billion to modernize public transit, and $7.5 billion to create the first federal network of charging stations for electric vehicles. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and 16 other Republicans voted to advance this compromise legislation. President Biden called the deal, quote, the most significant long-term investment in our infrastructure and competitiveness in nearly a century, adding that neither side got everything they wanted, but that's what it means to compromise and forge consensus, the heart of democracy, end quote. Be reminded, though, this vote was only to open debate. We've still got a long way to go. And in case you are wondering who the 17 Republicans were who voted with the Democrats, along with Mitch McConnell, it's Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Hoeven of North Dakota, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Jim Risch of Idaho, Mitt Romney of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and Todd Young of Indiana. So far, so good, right? Well, that's only part of the deal. As you know, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has been pursuing a two-pronged approach while the bipartisan group of senators hammered out this deal, which was done in principle yesterday. The other part is where the Democrats are pursuing a go-it-alone approach on a $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, meaning it will pass with just 51 votes. No Republicans are necessary. All along, Democrats were clear that one would not pass without the other. And Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said she will not bring any bills on infrastructure to the floor until the Senate passes both a bipartisan bill and the larger one through budget reconciliation. So enter Kyrsten Sinema, who just had to rain on the parade by announcing her opposition to the other part of the equation. Seriously, the hopefully soon to be unemployed senator from Arizona released a statement that read, quote, after reviewing the Senate Budget Committee's outline, I have told Senate leadership and President Biden that I support many of the goals in this proposal to continue creating jobs, growing American competitiveness, and expanding economic opportunities for Arizonans. I have also made clear that while I will support beginning this process, I do not support a bill that costs $3.5 trillion. And in the coming months, I will work in good faith to develop this legislation with my colleagues and the administration to strengthen Arizona's economy and help Arizona's everyday families get ahead. Huh? Sinema did not specify a price tag she'd find acceptable. Shortly after she released this statement, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez fired back with a tweet. that read, good luck tanking your own party's investment in child care, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a 3-vote House margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color from negotiations and calling that a, quote, bipartisan accomplishment. Oh, boy. To be continued. The other big news of the day concerns our current surge of COVID-19 infections and new guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urging people to once again wear masks indoors, which prompted some new mask mandates in cities, states, schools, and businesses. And the attending physician in the House of Representatives announced that the chamber would reinstate its mask mandate as this virulent Delta variant of the coronavirus drives the largest surge of infections. So you know what happens next, right? House Republicans responded with fighting and yelling and Congressman Chip Roy of Texas trying and failing to get the House to adjourn for the day on Wednesday because he didn't want to wear a mask. Asked to respond to Kevin McCarthy's rejection of the reimposed mask mandate, Speaker Nancy Pelosi didn't hold back. She told reporters, quote, he is such a moron. Gotta agree with that one. An 8.2 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Alaska late Wednesday, triggering a tsunami warning that was lifted about 2 hours later. And despite the resurgence of new COVID infections, the 4-day Lollapalooza Festival kicks off in Chicago on Thursday. They are requiring proof of vaccination or clean COVID tests and masks for those unvaccinated. But I can't help but think this is not going to end well. And finally, the U.S. economy grew at a robust 6.5% rate April through June, and weekly jobless claims dropped by 24,000 to 40,000. These reports are another sign that the job market and economy continues to recover rapidly from the coronavirus recession. Now, if we could only convince everyone to get vaccinated, we'd be past this mess. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And please click on that donate button.